Professor Robert Dufour, welcome to Microscopia.
Thank you.
In this interview, we want to talk about hepatitis B and hepatitis C. And our first question, Professor Dufour, is why should we care about viral hepatitis?
Viral hepatitis is probably the most common cause of chronic liver disease in the world. Hepatitis B and C are, however, although very common, it's estimated there's about 170 million people worldwide who are chronically infected with hepatitis C, and somewhere more than twice that number who are chronically infected with hepatitis B. Most of the people who have these infections don't know that they have them. And so as a result, they can continue to go on damaging their liver and eventually may develop liver failure or liver cancer many, many years after they were first exposed. There are now successful treatments for both hepatitis B and hepatitis C, which can reduce and in some cases eliminate the likelihood of developing these complications. So for that reason, it's very important to be aware of hepatitis B and C and how to diagnose them. They've been called silent killers for that reason.
And how common are these diseases?
Well, as I mentioned, hepatitis B and C are both very common conditions. In most of the world, hepatitis C is the more, most of the Western world, hepatitis C is the more common infection. In Europe and in North America and parts of Asia, probably about 2% of the people in the population are chronically infected with hepatitis C, although there are areas of the world, such as Egypt, where it's even more common than that. Hepatitis B is very common in certain parts of the world, particularly in Southeastern and Central Asia and in Central Africa and parts of South America, but not quite as common in Europe and North America, for example. It's estimated that probably a little bit less than 1% of the population in Europe and North America is chronically infected with hepatitis B.
And what tests are needed to diagnose hepatitis B?
So for diagnosing hepatitis B, the primary test is for detecting the hepatitis B surface antigen, also called HBsAg. This is a protein that the virus produces in large excess, and so it's very easy to detect in the circulation. In fact, that's what led to the discovery of the hepatitis B virus initially. There are a number of other tests that can be done to diagnose whether a patient with hepatitis B is actively replicating the virus. And the main test here would be hepatitis B viral DNA. There are a variety of other tests for hepatitis B that mostly detect exposure or that are useful in specific circumstances. But to diagnose hepatitis B, the two principal tests are hepatitis B surface antigen and hepatitis B viral DNA.
And what about the test for hepatitis C?
So for hepatitis C, the principal test that we have used for many years is detecting antibody to the hepatitis C virus, or anti-HCV. Now, because hepatitis C antibody only detects exposure to the virus, it doesn't really tell us whether a person is currently infected with the virus or not. So the main test for that purpose, which is used in people who are antibody positive, is to detect the viral RNA. So HCV RNA would be the other test that we principally use for confirming that a patient with hepatitis C antibodies is currently infected with the virus.
What tests are needed to decide who to treat for hepatitis B and the same for hepatitis C?
So for hepatitis B, surface antigen does not really tell us whether a patient needs to be treated. People who are hepatitis B surface antigen positive have the virus in their body, but not necessarily are producing new viral particles. And since the treatments for hepatitis B primarily prevent the replication of the virus, people who don't have any hepatitis B viral DNA are not usually considered candidates for treatment. Another test that is often helpful in deciding whom to treat is the hepatitis B E antigen. The E antigen is a protein that is produced by some but not all strains of hepatitis B. Those people who have strains of the virus that do not make the E antigen, generally we can't use that for deciding whether to treat or not. We still use hepatitis B viral DNA for deciding whether to treat, but it can be another parameter that we can monitor in people who have hepatitis B. So we always use E antigen before we treat a patient. There are also tests to look for genotype of hepatitis B, and these are definitely used in research studies, but not routinely for care because treatment is not very much affected by genotype in hepatitis B currently. So while there are tests for detecting genotype, they are not very widely used. For hepatitis C, the viral RNA is again the main test for deciding who would be treated. With currently available treatments for hepatitis C, genotype is a very important consideration because it determines what drugs to use in treating a patient and for how long to treat a patient. For example, the current main mode of treating hepatitis C involves using three drugs, interferon, ribavirin, and a newer drug called sofosbuvir. Sofosbuvir is a direct drug that works on the hepatitis C itself. When combining these three drugs, the treatment response rates are over 90%. But in people who have the less common genotypes 2 and 3, interferon, which has a lot of side effects, isn't necessary. You get the same response just using the other two drugs. Genotype 2 can be safely treated for 12 weeks with two drugs. Most of the other genotypes can be treated safely for 12 weeks with three drugs. And then genotype 3 is treated for 24 weeks with the same two drugs that are used to treat genotype 2. So genotypes are very important consideration. Going forward, however, there are new drugs that are coming onto market probably later this year and next year that seem to have similar responses with all genotypes. So it is possible that going forward, genotype will, as with hepatitis B, not be an important consideration in deciding who to treat.
What tests will be needed to monitor treatment in hepatitis B and to monitor treatment also in hepatitis C?
So in patients with hepatitis B, we make a distinction between people who had strains that were producing the E antigen before treatment and people who did not have strains producing the E antigen before treatment. In people that were E antigen negative, the two tests that we utilized most commonly are the viral DNA, because that's what the treatment does. It prevents the replication of the virus. So that tells us whether it's working. And in most of the world, quantitative tests, that is to measure the amount of hepatitis B surface antigen, because that tells us what's happening in the liver. In those that are E antigen positive, we can also look at what happens with E antigen. And again, if E antigen falls to undetectable and antibody against the E antigen develops, that suggests that a patient's liver is winning the battle against the hepatitis B virus. So as a result, those patients who lose E antigen while we're treating them and who develop E antibody, we often will stop treatment after a period of 6 to 12 months beyond when the E antibody develops. And many of those patients will remain HBV DNA negative even once the treatment has concluded. On the other hand, people that are E antigen negative at the start of treatment, unless they lose surface antigen, and that's a fairly uncommon occurrence, those people often need treatment indefinitely. So a patient that we start on treatment, we often are going to continue on that treatment indefinitely unless they happen to be one of the very small percentage of people who lose surface antigen. In people whose viral load does not respond There are mutant strains of the virus that can be resistant. Fortunately, it's very rare to see that with the two most common drugs that we use nowadays for treating hepatitis B, but they can occur. So there are tests to look for evidence of genotypic resistance, similar to tests that are available for HIV virus. In hepatitis C, the main test that we use to monitor response to treatment is the viral load. And what we're aiming for with hepatitis C is that the virus disappears while treatment is going on and remains gone after we finish treatment. So since there are not any protein antigens that are widely available, although there are tests in Europe for hepatitis B core antigen, which can tell us a similar bit of information to what we see with the viral RNA, although probably not quite as sensitively, core antigen would be another possibility for a test that we could use to monitor treatment in hepatitis C. Genotype, because it's something we've checked beforehand, is not something we would check again. And antibodies tend to remain positive for a long time, so we don't test the antibody test again.
Thank you, Professor DeFoe. Is there any final comment you would like to make?
The last comment I'd like to make is with one other thing people should be aware about with hepatitis B. The surface antigen, as I mentioned, is a marker for the presence of the virus within the body. But it's not 100% reliable for telling us whether the virus may be in hiding in the body. And in recent years, it's become recognized that most people who've been exposed to the virus still harbor viral DNA within their liver, even if they're not making detectable hepatitis B surface antigen. The reason this is important is that if anything happens to weaken the body's immune system, the immune system is what's keeping the virus in check. And when the immune system is suppressed, the virus may start replicating again, and hepatitis B surface antigen and viral DNA may appear again. This is particularly dangerous because in their weakened immune system, the virus can proliferate to very large amounts. And then when their immune system recovers again, can lead to very severe liver damage. So the way to detect that a patient has been exposed to hepatitis B is by measuring the presence of antibody to the hepatitis B core antigen, or anti-HBC. People who are immune compromised, who are anti-HBC positive, if they have severe immune suppression, generally those people will be treated with drugs that prevent hepatitis B replication. So it's often a good idea for laboratories to be aware of this other use of hepatitis B tests and the need to make this available in patients who are immunocompromised.
Thank you very much, Professor Robert DeFoe. It's been a pleasure to have you in Microscopia.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today.